So, you say you're a Christian, so what's your religious background?
Yeah. I guess you could say I'm a Christian. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. What does that mean to you?
Oh, you know, I try to be a good person and whatnot. You know, I go to church, and the days you're supposed to, I guess, like Easter, Christmas, July 4th. Yeah, the important ones.
Gotcha. So, you say you're pretty serious about your faith?
Yeah, sure. I guess you could say that. You know, I know what God stands for and whatnot, and I definitely know my beliefs in him, and that he's there for me when I need him and whatnot.
Hey, good morning. Welcome once again to Mid-Current Church. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here, and isn't there a little bit of that guy in all of us to some degree? We think there is, and so we want to see this morning if we can help move people beyond that in just some way here this morning. So we're really glad you're here. Now, I don't want to make a huge deal at Mid-Current Church about football teams and about rivalries and all that, but the truth is, if you hang around me long enough, you will discover that I'm a pretty big fan of the Minnesota Vikings. So I'll just get that out there and hopefully move on from that. As a Vikings fan, I will say I pride myself on knowing everything about them. I pride myself on knowing their owners, their general managers, their coaches, their players, even some of the guys in their practice squad, the guys that don't even make it onto the field on Sunday. A good fan, an expert fan, would know these things, right? I try to stay on top of it. One of the things to stay on top of this year is the Vikings quarterback situation. Their top quarterback, a guy named Teddy Bridgewater, he's been out for about a season and a half with knee injuries. His replacement, a quarterback by the name of Sam Bradford, has now been out with some injuries of his own. So now his replacement is a veteran backup quarterback by the name of Case Keenum. He's really only been a backup his whole entire career, and he is now currently the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. And his backup, we're down to like the fourth stringer here. His backup is an untested, an inexperienced, a no-name rookie quarterback. Now, if that's at all confusing to you, don't worry. I got you covered. As an expert fan of my favorite team, I'm on top of it. I've already read up about this no-name quarterback. I know who he is. He's a 22-year-old kid named Kyle Slaughter. He's an undrafted rookie quarterback from the University of Northern Colorado, which I also happen to know is in Greeley, Colorado. Been to Greeley, Colorado, actually. He was signed this year by the Denver Broncos and eventually released and picked up by the Vikings and placed onto their practice squad. Right, he wasn't quite on the real deal roster yet. But when injuries took their toll on the Vikings, this young, this unproven, this untested, this unknown Kyle Slaughter was soon elevated from their practice squad to the position of the backup quarterback, second in line on the 53-man active real deal primetime roster. Are you impressed with how well I know Kyle Slaughter? Greeley, Colorado? That's good. Come on. Okay, fast forward now to the last game that I sat watching on the couch in my family room. Vikings quarterback Case Keenum takes a pretty big hit. He's slow getting up on his feet again. So naturally, his backup, my man, Kyle Slaughter, starts warming up on the sidelines. The TV cameras spotted him, and they zoom in on him in his warm-up tosses, and the announcers would soon take this opportunity to introduce the viewers to this unknown rookie quarterback. But I didn't need an introduction. I already knew who Kyle Slaughter was. And so for the sake, though, of all the viewers who are not as knowledgeable as I was, these announcers, the guys who are paid to know these players, to know their names, to know their story, to know where they came from, these announcers went on to introduce the national viewing audience to the Vikings backup quarterback, a young man they announced by the name of Kyle Slaughter. Not Slaughter, as one very knowledgeable and humble, I might add, Minnesota Vikings fan had assumed was his name all along. Hashtag my bad. Okay, it's a pretty subtle difference. I was in the ballpark. But nonetheless, one thing was clear. Sitting there on my couch, honestly feeling a little stupid, I realized that I wasn't quite on top of that one as I thought I was. I wasn't exactly BFF with Kyle Sloter. I didn't even know the guy's name. And it was with that little slice of humility, that little piece of humble pie that I had to admit then, and I have to admit now, that knowing someone, as I thought I did, knowing someone is a lot different than knowing about someone. Knowing someone is a whole lot different than knowing about someone. Have you ever come to that same kind of humbling, maybe even embarrassing conclusion before? Maybe it wasn't just like I described here with Kyle Sloter, but maybe you've experienced it in other situations like I have. Like if you're in a conversation with someone and they mention a name, see if you're familiar with who they're referring to. You don't actually know the person, but you've heard about them. You know about them, and so you just nod. Oh, yeah, I know them. You ever done that before? I do it more times than I'd like to admit, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe the same is true for you. Regardless, what is true in either situation is the same, that knowing someone, really, honestly, truly, is a whole lot different than knowing about someone. And here's why that matters to me. Because I believe that all of us here this morning, myself included, I believe all of us can make the same miscalculation when it comes to God. I think the same thing is true, that knowing God, truly, really, genuinely, honestly, I think that knowing God is a whole lot different than knowing about God or knowing what God stands for, as the guy in our video so emphatically proclaimed. Right? For many of us, it can be easier to become content with what we know about God rather than to actually know God, to know his character, to know his heart, more importantly, to know of his presence in your life. And like I said, that goes for me too. In my line of work, it could become really easy for me to be content with knowing about God rather than to be actually genuinely knowing God and continuing to know God and to know his heart. And for all of us, that matters to me. Here's why. Because you and I both are responding to God. We're reacting to God one way or another, for or against. We're responding to God. And if we're responding and reacting to God only based on what we know about God or what we think we know about God, we could be making a mistake. And more importantly, we could be missing an opportunity. And I don't want us to miss that opportunity. I want us, you and me both, to be people who know God, really. Not just know about God, but people who really know God and whose lives actually begin to reflect that. And I think there's a difference. So the question is, what is the difference? How can we be sure that we actually know God as opposed to only knowing about God? Right? If you're here today and you're only just curious about God, or if you're here today and genuinely pursuing and have been pursuing a personal growing relationship with God, the question is the same. How can we be sure? How can we be sure that we really know God? How can we be sure that we really, truly, genuinely know God? That's the question that I want to put under the microscope this morning. And it's the very same question. It's the very same question that was under the microscope for one of the earliest churches, just like ours, for one of the earliest churches 2,000 years ago, for a community of people who were caught in this same kind of confusion. And the good news is for us is that the leader of that church 2,000 years ago, the leader of that church answered that question in a letter that was written to his people. And we have that letter. And what he wrote to his people then is also our key. It's the key to our curiosity now. We read in this letter that is known as 1 John. It was the first of three letters of John. We read what John has to say. John was the leader of a church at the time. He was the leader of a church in conflict. Imagine that. He's the leader of a church in conflict. A group of people had fallen away from his church. They had kind of broken away, even become opponents of John's church, speaking out against it, trying to pull people away from it. And it's what they believed, these people that had broken away, it's what they believed, and more importantly, it's how they thought that I think will be of most interest to us, because evident in their way of thinking was the earliest trends, it was the earliest signs at the time of what would soon become known as Gnosticism. It's kind of this way of thinking. These opponents were demonstrating at the time the earliest signs of what would soon be known as Gnosticism. And Gnosticism promoted enlightenment, spiritual, intellectual enlightenment. It was more about what you knew, more about what you knew. And so these opponents of John's church, they were boasting in knowing God, absolutely. But they cared very little for how that actually played out in their life. These are folks who claim to know plenty about God and about the person of Jesus Christ, but whose lives hardly provided any evidence of a real relationship or of a real knowledge of him. You see the tension here? It's knowing about God or actually knowing God and living as if it made a difference. And so it's in John's letter to his people that he speaks right to the heart of this matter. He informs both them and at the same time, he informs us now how we can be sure that we know God. And I want us to see it. I want us to read it this morning. Here's what he writes very plainly, very clearly in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. John's writing to the people in his very own church, and he says this. He says, and we can be sure. That's what we want to know, right? He says, and we can be sure that we have come to know him if what? If we obey his commandments. That's it. If we want to know God, if we want to be sure that we know God, we obey his commandments. And so here we start to see the difference between knowing God and knowing about God is obeying God. Now, here's the thing. I know that we don't really like today. We don't really like the word obey. We don't like being told to obey someone. Maybe especially we don't like being told obey God. All it's saying is this. All it's saying is let's do what God asks of us. It's acknowledging that maybe, possibly, God's way is best. It's putting his truth, his ideal into play in our lives. It's our lives starting to look a lot more like his son, Jesus Christ. This is actually the foundation. If I could take a moment, this is actually the foundation of what this church is about. I mean, that's why this is so important to me in these earliest of days. Our mission, the one thing that we care more than anything else, the one thing we're trying to do above all else is to do anything we can to reach more people for Jesus and to teach people to live more like him. Because Jesus is the one who put God's truth, who put God's ideal, his will perfectly into play here on earth. And so our job and our key to knowing God more is to do the same, to do what God asks of us. The difference between knowing God and knowing about God is obeying God. But that's just the start. It doesn't end there. So then the question is, what's the link? What's the real connection between obeying and knowing? What's the link? What's the connection between obeying and knowing? Because there's got to be something more. I mean, there's got to be something that connects the two. And truthfully, there is. Obeying God is just the platform. It's just the catalyst to something more. And that's what I want to help us to see. So let me see if I can close the gap. For the author of this letter, John, knowledge, it was something more. For John, knowledge was experiential. It wasn't abstract. It wasn't speculative. It wasn't some single moment of spiritual or intellectual enlightenment. Knowledge was experiential. And John's writing gives us some subtle clues to that. That's true for how he thought. When John writes that we can be sure that we have come to know God, the verb to know that he uses, he wrote that verb to know in what is known as the perfect tense. He wrote in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense indicates that there's a past action, there's a past experience, there's a past event that has present and ongoing and continuing effects. That's the present tense. A past action, a past event that has present, ongoing effects. So knowing God to John, it wasn't a one-time event in the past. It wasn't a previous solitary moment of spiritual or intellectual enlightenment. For John, knowing God truly was experiencing God. Knowing God was experiencing God. Knowing God was the result of the ongoing experiencing of God, experiencing his goodness, experiencing his faithfulness, experiencing his grace, his mercy today, tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that. And so John's choice here of the perfect tense while addressing this specific situation, it wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't coincidental. It was very intentional. So that he could show us and demonstrate for us that knowing God really, truly, honestly, that knowing God, which is what I want us to be about this morning, that knowing God is experiencing God. And I believe that we experience God more in our lives when we give God a chance, when we give God a platform, when we give God a space in our lives for God to show up, for God to respond to us. And that platform is exactly what John has put the spotlight on in his letter. That platform is obeying God, doing what God asks. Obeying is the platform. Beyond that, obeying God is the catalyst to experiencing God. It's the link. It's that connection to how we really come to know him. That's the first step, that we obey God. We do what God says, because then we start to experience what it is that God does for us. And when we start to experience what God does in response to us, then we start to come to know who God is personally. And when we start to come to know God personally, when we experienced him responding to us, it's far more likely that our natural response, that our natural desire would be to be continuing to do what God has asked of us, that our hearts would be more and more and more in line with his. And ultimately, that's what God is concerned about, our hearts. Our hearts being shaped and being molded like his. So knowing God matters. The question is, does it matter to you? I mean, do you want to know God more? In whatever way, for whatever reason, do you want to know God more? Do you want to be sure that you have come to know God more than you do today? Maybe you'd admit that, no, you don't really know God. I mean, truthfully, you're not even totally sure what you think about God or his son or anything like that. But you're open to it. I mean, you're here today after all. Maybe you're open to knowing God more, open to even experiencing God more in your life. Or maybe you do know God. You've had a personal relationship with him for a while, but maybe you'd admit too, there's sometimes it feels like you know more about God than you know him personally. Maybe you're in a season right now where it seems like your knowledge about God is greater than your actual experiences of him. I can attest to that at times. But I never want it to stay like that. And if you don't either, for whatever reason, then let me suggest this morning that you do something about it. In fact, I'm going to dare you to do something about it. A triple dog dare, even, which means you have to do it. Okay, you don't have to do it, but I'd love it if you did. My challenge to you this morning is this, to pick one area, just to pick one area in your life this week or this month or this year and commit to doing what God has asked of you in that place. Pick one area in that place. Trust that God's way is best there and obey what it is that he is asking you to do there. I'm not saying test God. I'm just saying give God that opportunity. In one place this month or this year, give him that platform. Give him that invitation. Create that space for him in your life to show up. Give yourself the opportunity to experience him there when he does. You'll only experience God when you create the space for him to respond, to show up. So give yourself the opportunity to experience him there when he does and see if your heart isn't moved. Maybe for you, that one area in your life, this week or this month or this year, maybe that one area is a broken relationship. There's been too much hurt, too much pain, too much anger, too much bitterness to even consider moving on, to even consider amending what was broken. Take a chance. Maybe this week or this month, it's that relationship. Make this week, in fact, make this week or this month about that very relationship. And believe there that maybe God's way in this relationship, maybe that God's way is best, to do what God has asked you to do there. To forgive them, to forgive yourself, to not let the pain or the anger hold you hostage anymore. God says, please. God says, please, hey, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Maybe that's the place right now, this week or this month or this year in your life, to do what God has asked you to do. Maybe for you that area is, maybe it's your marriage. You've been playing tug of war for way, way too long. More and more these days, everything seems like it's a debate. Everything's a battle. Everything's a fight for position. Maybe this month, do what God has asked you to do there. It says, husbands, love and serve your wives. Wives, love and respect your husband. He's saying, above all, serve one another. Be in this together. Make this next month about serving and filling the needs of the other person rather than scraping and fighting to get what you think you need or you think you want or you think you deserve. Maybe that area for you is financial. Maybe money matters are overwhelming you. Right, the bills come fast, the debt rises faster, the iPhones get cooler, and the number of hours you sleep a night get fewer because managing all of this stress is like making you go out of your mind. Maybe this is the area to do what God asks of you to do there, to trust him, to put him first, to put him at the top of the list, to give back to him first, not just with what's left over. Maybe that's the place this year that you carve out space, that you give God that platform to experience him, to experience his faithfulness, to experience his provision for you in a brand new and in a very real way. Maybe that area is professional. Maybe it's with coworkers or the team you lead or the company you own or the boss you work for, right? The workplace can be a grind, right? The temptation is to drive harder, crack the whip more, point the finger, demand a change. Maybe the change in the workplace could be you to do what God has asked you to do there. Maybe to put the needs of others first, to lead from behind, to be a servant leader, to encourage more, to be a cheerleader more for the people that are around you or the people that are under you or the people that are above you. Maybe it's making your goal this year to be coworker of the year, serve other people first. The goal is coworker of the year, not employee of the year. Maybe that area for you is an area that God has called you to or that God has led you to in this season of your life, but it's hard. It's harder than you imagined when you said yes. You'd rather jump ship. You'd rather turn back. You'd rather call it quits or just slowly, quietly start considering another option. Maybe God is asking you to stay the course, to trust him, to trust what he showed you, to trust that what he revealed to you in the light is something that you can hold on to. So often we begin to doubt in the darkness what God has showed to us in the light. So maybe in that place that's getting hard, God's saying, trust me. God's saying, be faithful in the good times and in the hard times. This list could go on and on and on. I don't know what that area is or what that area might be or what that area could be for you, but whatever it is, I want to make sure that you really know why I'm urging you to do these things. I want to make sure that's perfectly clear before we walk out of here this morning. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt why I'm urging you to do these things. I'm not urging you to do what God has asked of you because he has a big checklist of all the things that you do and don't do. I'm not telling you to do what God says because your spiritual resume depends on it and you're toast if it's not up to snuff. I'm not telling you that you'll be in trouble with God if you don't do enough good things. Right? I know Christmas is right around the corner. and that Santa Claus is coming to town. But here's a spoiler alert. God is not Santa Claus. He's not spying on you when you're sleeping. He's not stalking you when you're awake. He's not threatening you to do good. So let's not get the wrong idea for goodness sake. I thought that was pretty clever. It's not why we do all these things that God has asked us to do them. I'm urging you to do what God asks you to do, to obey God in these places, because obeying God is the catalyst. It's the link. It's the connection to experiencing God. Obeying God is the catalyst to experiencing God. And knowing God truly is experiencing God in real ways in your life. So when you do what God asks, you give yourself a front row seat. You put yourself right in the very best position to see how God would respond. To experience God respond to you like you have never seen before. That's what I want for anyone at Midcurrent Church or anybody who's here this morning, to genuinely, personally, truly know God more, to know of his goodness, to have experienced his faithfulness, and to have our lives reflect that for the better, in our families, in our communities, in our schools, in our companies, in the world around us. Because I believe that when you know God more personally, I think you change. I think a real, personal, genuine relationship with God, it would change you. You'll start to experience life where there was death, light where there was darkness. You'll start to experience a way forward when it seemed like there was no way forward. You'll be empowered to heal from the hurts of your past, to forgive what seems unforgivable, to change what seemed unchangeable, to beat what seemed unbeatable, to overcome what seemed insurmountable. And in the midst of all that movement, God becomes real. God becomes real in those moments, in those places. He becomes real and not someone just to know about, not to just know what he stands for. He becomes real to you. In the face of pain, he becomes a healer. In the face of concern and doubt and control, he becomes a provider. In the face of feeling lost or alone or afraid, he becomes a savior. He becomes a father. He becomes a redeemer and a protector. He becomes real in real places that we give God a platform to show up. And knowing God like that, being able to call God a name like one of those, knowing God like that is personal. And it's a heck of a lot better than just simply knowing about God and knowing kind of what God stands for. And there's a big difference. And I think it makes a difference. Knowing God is experiencing God. And so the question is, do you want to know God more? More today than you did before. If so, obeying God, doing what God says is your ticket. It's the catalyst. It's the connection. So where will you give God that platform? Where will you give God that chance? Where will you create that space in your life to experience him more? Where is it that you would take a chance to say, hey, I think here God's way is best, and I'm going to give it a shot? I'm going to pray here in a minute. But before I do, let me just address maybe some of you here this morning. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying to yourself, I'm in. Maybe you're saying, hey, I want to know God more. I'd like to experience God more. I'd like to do what God is asking me to do. Sten, there's just one problem. I don't really know what that looks like. If that's you, let me say two things. Number one, would you let us know? Would you let me know? I'd love to get you connected to someone in this church or elsewhere who could help you to put God's ideal into play in your life in practical ways, whether that was relationship help or marriage help or help with budgets and finances and how do you do that, or whether it's help with addiction or so on. Let us know so that we could help you learn more about God's ideal and learn more about putting it into play in your life. You can email me anytime. You can use that tear off part of your program to get in contact with us and drop it in that little collection box. Would you let us know? Number two, and maybe more importantly, if that's you, right? If you're wanting to experience God more, you're wanting to do more of what God has asked, but you just don't know what that looks like, there's one person's lead to follow. There's one person who did all of that perfectly. There's one person who is the ultimate guide, the ultimate example for how we put God's ideal and how we put God's truth into play in our lives. And as much as I would like to think that person is me, it's not. It's not me. That one person is Jesus Christ. And if you've never said yes to a relationship with Jesus before, now is the perfect time to do that. Right now is the perfect time to say yes and to choose to follow his lead so that he would be your guide. He would be the one guiding you to do what it is that God has asked of you because he did it perfectly. If that's you this morning too, we'd love to know that. We'd love to have you use that same part of the tear off. Love to have you send me the same email simply saying, I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes to Jesus for the first time, and I want to learn to follow his lead in all of this so that I too might experience him more and come to know him more and have my heart be more aligned with his. And really, that's the goal for all of us, that our deciding today to obey God in more places in our life would lead to experiencing God more and to knowing God more and reflecting God more in our lives and in this world. Let me pray. God, we're grateful for this morning. We're grateful for this chance to be here. And we're grateful for the opportunities, God, that you provide for us to get to know you more. God, we're grateful for your word that's made available to us so that we can learn and grow and come to know you more. God, the truth is, I think there's a lot of places in our life where we have the opportunity to put into play, God, some of the things that you have asked us to put into play. That's just the case for all of us, God. No one's perfect. None of us. No matter what our title is, no matter what our education is, no matter how long we've been in a relationship with you or pursuing you in real ways, God, none of us is perfect. There are places in our lives where we could start or we could challenge ourselves or we could begin to put your will, your ideal into play in our lives in greater ways. God, and I hope that maybe here this morning, if nothing's jumping out in front of us, God, I pray that you continue working in our hearts. God, would you reveal to us in only the way you can, God, with truth and grace, with compassion, with kindness, God, would you reveal to us what those areas might be? So we can say, okay, God, that's the place. That's the one area that I want to start trying to do what it is that you have asked me to do. And God, I pray that as we take those steps to do what it is that you have asked us to do, I pray that we would start to experience you in ways that we have never experienced you before, God. I pray that when we start to take those steps toward doing what it is that you have asked us to do, that you would respond to us, God. And you would show up in our lives in ways that we know you are real to us, God, and in ways that we can know that you are personal. So, God, for all of us here this morning, I pray that we would find, that we would discover what that place is in our life, and then we'd take those steps to doing what it is that you have asked, God, and I pray that we would experience you more and come to know you more, and I pray that our hearts would begin to be more and more aligned with your heart, God. Thanks for this morning and this chance to be together. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.